Very good. I was reminded of a story based on what we learned yesterday. from a very reliable source. the Rav of Kovner was a Bitzchogel. Okay. So Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan Spector was one of the Gedolei. He was for most of his life, he was extremely poor, but he was a Gaon. Thinking he was an absolute genius, a Gaon Adir, and eventually became from one community. He was appointed to be Rav of a larger community. Eventually became Rav of Kovner, which was perhaps the greatest community and one of the most prominent and prestigious positions to hold. And he was there for a number of years, and only at that point actually it was financially secure. Apparently, his wife said, "Oh, now that finally we've got enough money to buy food, we've got no teeth to enjoy it with." That's what she said. That shows gives a bit of a picture what Rukhana was like. Now that we've got enough money to buy food, we've got no teeth to actually eat it. A bit like Rukhana, but so it was. That's also something we're not so familiar with. The aguna, there was a lot of aguna shailas, and that's what reminded me. Or we learned yesterday the aguna shailas. So there was a one particular incident, and nowadays we don't get aguna shailas, and I think the reason for that is because nowadays the world has become so incredibly big, but more so, the world has become so incredibly small, that with just a few clicks and a few button clicks, you can know exactly about everybody and everything. You know, there's no more privacy, and there's no more, you can just click a few clicks, and you know exactly when everybody's going to bed, and where he lives, and why, and he's, the latest. It's everything is so. There's no privacy really anymore. It's true, no? So it's hard to hide, and it's hard to escape, and it's hard to... there's none of that. So in previous generations, it was really no big deal. Somebody who just had enough for some reason or another, he would just literally run away. He would just go away. And he would just start again in Spain. How's that? So nowadays, it's pretty hard to do that. So, but then it was a lot of Agunashailas, and there's countless interesting, fascinating stories. But well, obviously, there was an enormous amount of tragedy and sorrow and all that. But there's some fascinating stories. Famously, the story of the Vilna Gaon. It's interesting. But the story that I want to speak about was Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan. Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan was very, very busy with Agunas. Many of the Rabbonim in the pre-war years was busy with Agunas during the wars. Especially there was soldiers, and there was Nebuch people that couldn't be found, and there was a lot of Agunas shailas. And one particular case, it's really interesting. It just tells us a little bit about. I'm just sharing with you because I remember I just heard it last week from I listened to a shiur by Reb Aaron Lopiansky, and he mentions that story, and I thought it's an interesting story. And I just in that context, I remembered it. He said that Reb Yitzchak Elchanan was generally a very, very big makel. He always found leniencies, especially when it came to aguna questions. Which rav wants to, wants to leave an aguna in a situation that she can't get remarried? That's the worst situation a person can be. So it requires great amount of power to be halachic power to be lenient. Because on the other hand, if suddenly the guy reappears and shows up, after a het, and then she's been married to an eshes ish for that period of time, which is equally bad. So you want to kind of on the one hand you want to be really makel and you want to find the club, but on the hand you have to have halachic basis of what you're doing. And Rabbi Yitzchak was very, very busy with that, and he had an enormous amount of kolos. Enormous amount of kolos. And many tshuvas of Rabbi Yitzchak were kolos and aguna shailas. At one point, he was, two stories. One story was that he was extremely makel, and the Rabbonim had ta'anis on him, and he said, you can't really allow her to remarry based on that. It sounds like such a weird, such a obscure, such a strange kula that you've got. He had this leniency. How can you allow her to remarry? But he was very confident that this kula is appropriate and she can get remarried. But he was attacked by many abonim of his contemporary period, but he was very adamant. No, he really feels that she's got, and she got remarried. And a few weeks later, there was a lot of noise about the abonim, and they disagree with this. A few weeks later, they found the guy dead in a forest. So he was right. Yes, he had felt that you can be lenient, and they found the. So he was right. But perhaps even more impressive is the second story in which Rabbi Yitzchak Elchanan was machmir, and there was a lady that was crying on his doorstep, and she, because her husband disappeared, And she was crying, these dolls crying, real tears, and she was crying and crying. You know, please, can he be Mekel? And he said, I can't find any reason to be Matia. I can't find any reason. And she cried desperately, and please, can you help me? You're the only rabbi that can. And when he spoke to his colleagues and to the Dayanim, they actually felt there might be some room for leniency. And they asked him, Yitzchak Yochanan Spector, why don't you apply this leniency over here? Why don't you apply that leniency over there? And he said, I just don't feel it. 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 And the opponent said, all right, okay, he's ultimately the Av Bezdin, it's up to him to decide. And they raised their hands. And it turned out to be that she was lying. She was absolutely lying. And the story didn't make any sense. And the husband was around. And whatever the story was, without going into details, but the point was, the Yitzchak Yochanan got it right. He had that feeling, that sense, and that additional level of Torah that he just understood what was right and what was wrong. It reminds me of Chazanish. Chazanish says that the halacha often is a feeling. After the learning comes a bit of a feeling as well. And that's probably what the Yitzchak Yochanan had to a very extreme level. I just remember that because we spoke about Gunas yesterday, so I remember that story. Okay. Rabbi said we're up to Siman Tov Kuf Chavav, and we are up to Seif Aleph. We learned yesterday that if Chalila, a mace, dies on Yom Tov, so the halacha is, I'm just going to start from Seif Aleph again, just to get the whole picture. Mace Hamutal Mirkovoy. Oh, Jonathan, it's very much relevant to your business. It's very much your world. So let's see. Meis hamutal kavoy, if a person dies, he will be Yom Tov Rishon if it's on first day Yom Tov. Lo is asku bo Yisrael, Yid may not deal with the meis on first day Yom Tov. Afilu yasriach, even if it's decomposing. V'yav shabah, I mean, even if there is no alternative that a goy will be available to help. Avol is asku bo amamin. Only goyim can bury him. Only goyim. No yid if it's a first day Yom Tov case. Afilu meis boy beyoyim, even if he died on that very day. Afilu im, I'm turning to page 290. Afilu michoyim la'ashoysad lemoch shalo yasriach. Goyim, however, may deal with him on the first day Yom Tov, even if it could potentially be delayed for the next day. Jonathan, is that what is the current custom in your Chevah Kedisha?
We don't do bells at all on Yom Tov.
Not first day, not second day.
No, but I know that during the when we had the
first wave
of the year, when we had the coronavirus outbreak in March, April, I know the US were doing the Voyage first and second day Yom Tov.
First day through Yidden as well.
I don't think so.
First day was Goyim, and second.
So. That was at the US.
Though. Right. Yeah.
Not mine.
Right. Pardon?
Shenhol's told me about it.
No, in the.
Yeah, I also heard. They had. So Lemaisa, I don't know what the Hetter would be in such a case to bury through Yidden on the third. On Yidden seems to be categorically forbidden. First day Yom Tov, that's the rule of thumb. First day Yom Tov, no Jew allowed to be involved in the burial. However, Goyim may perfectly do so. So the reason why we discussed yesterday is if God and Aleph Mishneh Berurah, there was the Ein Mitzvah Shel Kvura, the burial, which is a mitzvah, it is a mitzvah, burying is a mitzvah, of course, that does not push away, Ein Mitzvah Shel Kvura, Doich Aseh V'lois Aseh Yom Tov. Yom Tov is a positive and a negative mitzvah. You've got to keep Yom Tov, and you mustn't break Yom Tov. So it's an assay and a lois assay. But an assay of burying does not push away an assay and a lois assay. Hence, no yid may be actively involved in the burying. Okay, we carry on. The kolze, and all this, we're still talking about the first day Yom Tov. Kolze, be'asiyas keva, that's with regards to the actual burial. The making of the oroin. What's that word? The oroin? What's the word?
Coffin,
that's it. Vetachichin.
Shrouds.
So when it comes to making, digging, when it comes to digging of the burial. when it comes to the making of the coffin, when it makes to the making of the shrouds, that's what we just said now. Aval, but la'al bishoy, when it comes to dressing the niftah, ve'lechamem lo'imayim le'taroy, and to warm up water, remember it's Yom Tov, warm up water for the actual taro process, ve'le'oitzioy, and to take him out, ve'losumo bekev, and to place him in the keva, mutar edisol, that's permitted through soil. Rabbi Yisrael, what's the difference? Why is it that, again, but first day Yom Tov, why is it? Digging must be done through the goy. Making of the coffin, that's the goy. The shrouds, that's the goy. However, dressing him, warming up, carrying him, placing him in the keva, all that's the yid. What's the difference? First, we're still in the first day. Yes, so we're now giving some exceptions. We're saying that the following can be done through the Eid. Dressing him, warming up, carrying him, placing him.
No malacha.
Absolutely, that's it. These are all the abonants. All these examples are there. So, again, what's forbidden are the Torah Isurim, which is digging. Of course, digging is a malacha d'oraisa. Similarly, making the coffin is always going to be a malacha d'oraisa. And tachich in his shrouds, which is also the reisa. However, la'al bishoy to dressing, which is a shayla of what? What's a shayla of dressing the deceased? What's the issa involved? Of course it is. Mukta, yes. L'chaim b'mayim, what about l'chaim b'mayim? So yeah, what about l'chaim b'mayim? Oh, that's right, to warm up the water for the tara. So that really warming up water on Yom Tov is of course permitted. However, since this is made for a niftah, so that would be not shavuach nefesh, and therefore, as you're saying, that would be tapir rabbinically also. But it's not the reisa because it's Yom Tov. You're allowed to. Right. Similarly,
even
to,
though it's not needed for you, for shavuach nefesh.
Yeah, but it's not the reisa. The reason why it's permitted is because ultimately it's a darbonon. It's rabbinical issa. So now, so that's the differentiation between the former case and the latter case. Look at Mishnah Berurah, if cotton vav, for chol zebitzias keva, sheim melachos gemurois medereisa. The former cases are a list of isurim which is medereisa. Hence, they are also. Well, then similarly, the also lechatech peatzma beget pishton if the shrouds need to be cut. That's also the reisa. That couldn't be done through the yid. Now I'm skipping a couple of lines, and that's interesting. I wonder what Jonathan has got to say about this. Because we are poskim, the poskim write, even if there is already a burial place available in the Beis HaChaim, in the Beis HaChaim, there's a burial place empty available. She'ef shel nicho shom, which he can be placed in there ad lacha Yom Tov, until after Yom Tov, it's available, it's empty. Or yafilu kevagomu, or shenenu shaloi v'tzlech lefanoisa, if there's an interim burial plot which is available. Nevertheless, mutalach po b'yom tov al-di amamim. The question is as follows: What about if you know there is a first Yom Tov person deceased? All right, we want to bury him now. His actual place where he's meant to get buried, next to his family, next to his ancestor, it's not available. Digging needs to take place for there. However, there's another place which is available. Would you be allowed to bury now, to dig in his real place where he's meant to go, his actual where he's meant to go? You're allowed to dig that for him, or, which is Melachos D'oraisa, through a goy, or are you rather meant to put him in a temporary place just for until after Yom Tov, which will mean that there's no melachas involved whatsoever on a temporary basis? Do you allow digging to have him permanently buried, or do you say no, let's keep him in a non-melacha situation for just for 24, 48 hours? No, I would. My question is, am I allowed to dig in such a case?
I mean, if
I've got an arrangement. I can just put him here for the time being. And that will mean that I don't do any digging.
So there's a coffin. You've got a situation one where there's a coffin, which is
there's a coffin and there's a burial place available. It's buried. It's available. It's empty. It's dug already. It's dug already. Okay. I want to know. Do I put him in there? It's not his family. It's not his area. It's not what it's meant to be. Or do I ask the goy to take the tractor out? The goy to take the tractor out and dig the place where it's really meant to be his place. I'm asking a goy to dig, to take out the tractor, to take out the.
So he'll be put in the temporary until after Yom.
Yes.
He'll be moved.
But you have to move a body. So you're saying you should allow. So the answer is you're right. She ends a covered the maze that talked about most of the fanos. It's not respectful for the maze to start schlepping him around. The fridge, Jonathan. Do they the fridges which are used?
The mortuary.
Yeah.
Yeah, the mortuary facilities. Yeah.
So the question is as follows: based on this Mishnah Berurah now, would you say, is it better to keep in a mortuary for the time being, if person is nifted on first the Yom Tov? Or do you start digging through a goy? So the poets can bring from this Mishnah Berurah, what would you say? Dig. That's what they say. They bring from this Mishnah Berurah that you don't keep, that's what the Mishnah Berurah seems to imply, that you dig. Even you do Meloch Dreis, although there's alternative options. You dig. You will ask the goy to dig, and you don't keep a mace in the mortuary. That's what this Mishnah Berurah seems to be indicating. Okay, now we
can clarify.
Yeah.
The pasuk where we learn kavura, if I'm not mistaken, in the same pasuk is written about koloniskin nitlin, that anyone who's got a chi of skila is hanged first, and there it says you shouldn't hang overnight.
Loisolin.
Is there an issa in kavura to leave overnight? Unnecessarily, obviously. If you have to, you have to, but.
So I think that's specifically what you're referring to by skila is lois solin. I think I don't remember anymore. It's in Sanhedrin. I believe that there's a specific issa when it comes to skila. However, certainly there is an issa to keep unnecessarily somebody. You know, there's a mitzvah to bury somebody as soon as possible. As to whether it is, but there's a special issue with regards to skila. Lois Salin is specifically with regards to skila.
So that's not a nidon in our shayla.
Correct. Right, so now, right, so it says the Ramah, V'toiv li zoyer letaru ala de kash, yelga ve'oyer enes, v'ladin esadinim, shlo yov le de schita. Now, during the child process, one should try to avoid schita. So says the Ramah. Right, everything we've said so far is regards to which day Yom Tov we learned so far. That was everything we said now. First day Yom Tov, right. So we learned first day Yom Tov, categorically no yid should be involved. Right, certainly when it comes to the Reises, you may ask a goy to do, and various isadabonons have been removed for the burial. Yeah, but on the Reises certainly is also... everything should be done through goy. That's all first day Yom Tov. What about second day Yom Tov? Why? Well, I'm saying it's not it's a deraisa anyway because it's Yom Tov.
So what you doing for that?
No, you're allowed to do. You're allowed to cook on Yom. You're allowed to boil water on Yom Tov. So it's not no reason. It's a tzorich for it. Look at Mishnah Berurah cotton test. Lechamim v'chulu. Ein b'chol ze isa deraisa. The mitoch shu to avor le tzorich al nefesh. Since it's permitted tzorich al nefesh, hu to nam ishlo le tzorich, zuz permitted shlo le tzorich. V'uadin bo itza. To stam. Yeah. Why is what?
It's not
echel nefesh. Although it's water. It is water.
Another reason to be
doped for some of the so it is a darbonon. It would be so if you cook water for absolutely no purpose, it would be an issur darbonon. But it's not issur d'oraisa involved.
So it's doped for all these darbonons, basically.
We are doicha various istrabonons, yeah, for covenant amaze. Correct. Say base is the question of what about on the second day Yom Tov? Okay, so first Yom Tov we have learned yeet, no, goy, yes. Besides a few exceptions, which is even permitted for a yid. Base, meis b'yom tov rishon, osu la'alino ad yom tov sheni. With regards to, if somebody dies on the first day, osu la'alino ad yom tov sheni, don't wait until the second day, k'deish asker bo yisrael. So we're now going to learn that on the second day, actually, the yid is permitted to be busy with the nifta. Now the question would be, and that's what Seif Beis addresses, alright, okay, I would much rather that a yid is going to bury this particular nifta. It's more covered amaze if a yid is burying than a goy is busy with the burial. Therefore, would it be okay to delay the burial for the second day? And thereby allowing for yid to be busy with it as opposed to a goy. So comes the Shulchan Aruch in Seif Beis, and that's what we're learning. Meis b'yom tov rishon, if a person dies on first day, Yom Tov Osu La'alinoi, you may not delay it at Yom Tov Shen until second day, kidei, in order to ensure and to allow and to enable, she's asked by Israel that Yidden should be busy with the burial. So that would be the wrong thing. Taka, Jonathan.
Yeah.
Is that not, Gideon asked a valid question. So, if the current minhag is of to delay.